You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, kids, it's summer and we're going on vacation. Oh, yeah. Look at that, kids, the Grand Canyon. Wow. Oh, boy, the Redwood Forest. Those trees are over 2,000 years old. Mount Rushmore, how did they do that? Oh man, Niagara Falls, you can almost feel the mist, kids. Oh boy, wasn't that fun. Get the lights, dear.
All right, Steve, that's it. This family is so tired of staying at home and watching your old 8mm travel movies. Yuck. Would you please break down and take the car to Perfection Auto Works so we can have a real vacation?
This summer, take America by storm and don't miss out on the real thing. Perfection Auto Works will make your car road ready to see the good old USA. From brakes to tires and our free 26-point inspection, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
USA in your Chevrolet.
Most of Legislative District 9 and Legislative District 10 are now Legislative District 18. Two longtime lawmakers have retired from the district. To fill the vacancy, Nancy Gutierrez has stepped in to run for the House seat. Nancy Gutierrez is one of the most qualified candidates to run for the legislature from Southern Arizona. Nancy is a school teacher, a mother, a fighter of women's rights and sensible gun legislation. Nancy is an advocate for public education. I'm John C. Scott. I ask you to vote for Nancy Gutierrez for the State House of Representatives. Nancy will be a lawmaker we can be proud of. Nancy Gutierrez is the right person at the right time to serve Southern Arizona. This message is paid for by Nancy for AZ. Go to her website for more information. That's nancyforaz.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, the most talked to, talked about, and listened to political talk show weekends in all of Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. Broadcasting live from the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. And we have a great lineup of guests today. The President of the United States in the Middle East will talk with Stephen Zunis, Middle East expert from the University of San Francisco. For the last 25 years, he has been the go-to person when we wanted to talk about the Middle East. He is one of the most respected experts on the Middle East politics in all of America. Then we'll talk with Steve Kosacek, the Ward 6 council person for the city of Tucson, about the water crisis. Then Larry Boldine talks about the coming show of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Well, let's talk now to Stephen Zunis of the University of San Francisco. He's been at USF since 1995, teaching courses in the politics of the Middle East and other regional conflicts and resolutions, U.S. foreign policy and globalization, served as the founder and the first director of the Middle East Eastern Studies Program. a prominent specialist on U.S. Middle East policy. Professor Zunis has presented hundreds of public lectures, conference papers in both the United States and in over a dozen foreign countries, traveled frequently to the Middle East and other conflict regions, meeting with prominent government officials, scholars, and dissidents. He is one of the most respected Middle East scholars in America. Stephen Zunis, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us here. Let's talk about Biden. In the Middle East, he has changed somewhat of his tune from his candidacy as president. He now seems to be making, I guess, somewhat of a calculation that there's more to be gained from courting Saudi Arabia than isolating it. And then we'll go back and talk about his visit to Israel. But what about Biden and the Arabs, please?
Yeah, it is real disappointing for those of us who do see human rights as an important focus. I mean, the Saudis, of course, are responsible for tens of thousands of civilian deaths and the terror bombing of Yemen and the siege and not just from the bombs themselves, but from starvation preventing Yemen, the greatest humanitarian crisis in the world, as international aid groups have been saying, but also, of course, there's the issue of the murder of a prominent journalist, U.S. resident, Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi, apparently at the orders of Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince and de facto ruler of that country. Biden promised to make Saudi Arabia a pariah state, but he seems to be changing his tune, giving him the fist bump, and acting friendly. The polls show that less than 25% of the American public approve of his Middle East trip. That's the lowest total I've seen for support for a presidential trip before. But apparently he does think that combination of wanting to get more oil pumped out of the ground and in circulation and getting more support in the struggle against Iran is worth it. Of course, these are controversial as well, not just in terms of climate change and whether getting more oil out there is a good thing, but also the fact that Saudi Arabia already has a military budget several times that of Iran. In fact, if you look at the allies, they are far more powerful than Iran. I really don't quite see why pushing for more arms and to that part of the world is really going to make that positive a difference.
Well, Stephen, Biden, I guess it was the middle of the week, opened this first visit to the Middle East since taking office. Offering really a real slam against Iran, talking about a growing nuclear program, saying he is willing to use force, I guess nuclear force or any kind of force, as a last resort. He's saber-rattling against Iran in Saudi Arabia. I find that perplexing, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that it's interesting, that same interview, Trump made a very controversial decision by naming the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist group. And the Revolutionary Guard, I mean, these guys are bad news. I mean, they're supporting some nasty groups overseas. They're engaged in repression at home. They're a pretty corrupt outfit. They got their pockets in a lot of business enterprises and other things in Iran. But they don't really fit the description of a terrorist group, per se. And it also makes it very difficult and complicated if you're dealing with people. I was actually helped out an asylum case a while back where someone went to they're trying to deport him because he went to a technical college that happened to be controlled by the Revolutionary Guard. They didn't control it ideologically or anything. They're just trying to make money off of it. But I tried to explain the judge, and the immigration judge ultimately agreed, that you really can't be an Iranian and not have some contact with the Revolutionary Guard, because again, Iran is becoming almost as much a military regime as it is a theocratic state. But the point being is that Iran has agreed to go back to the agreement if the United States drops this designation of the Revolutionary Guard as a terrorist group. But Biden says no, he's not going to do that. So here he is willing to go to war to prevent them getting a nuclear weapon, but he's not willing to delist the National Guard. to prevent them from getting a nuclear weapon, which seems a bit distorted to me in terms of priorities.
Almost bizarre, really. Let me go back to his visit to Israel. Biden and the Israeli Prime Minister stood side by side, declaring they would not allow Iran to become a nuclear power. They parted some ways on how they were going to get there, but that was Iran bashing as well. Not that it was not justified in some form or another. What about his trip to Israel? What was your take on that?
Well, first of all, Biden refuses to even acknowledge that Israel already has nuclear weapons. And Israel is also in
violation point.
Of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. But Biden has refused to even acknowledge it, much less, you know, push Israel to consider disarmament. I think he did not raise the human rights concerns despite the increased repression in the occupied territories, including the murder of another prominent journalist, a U.S. citizen, Shireen Abdul Aqla, who was shot to death by a sniper at a very precise shot at 300 yards in the one area between their flak jacket and her helmet that would be fatal. Biden said, you know, Biden, the Biden administration says it was probably an accident, which again is very bizarre because there's no gunfire going there. There's no conflict going around in the immediate area. But he didn't say anything about that. And what was also striking is, again, in contrast with his meeting with the Palestinian president, there was no joint statement, and he refused to take any questions from reporters. He is willing to get questions of Israeli reporters, but not Palestinian reporters. And he also just talked about, he gave vague talk to a two-state solution, but talked about it being a long way off and like it was not a particularly pressing concern. Though he did promise more humanitarian aid to Palestinians, and that's certainly that's a good thing, because in terms of health care and infrastructure and things like that, that's badly needed. But any Palestinian will tell you that that's fine, but what we need is our freedom. What we need is an end to the occupation. What we need is a viable, independent state. And again, that doesn't seem to be a very high priority for Biden right now.
Well, you know, our radio show went to Israel three different times and three different isolated and designated particular periods in the history of Israel just in the last 10 years. It's been a while since we were there. But I'm not sure what's left of the West Bank as the settlements have grown and continue to grow. And I can't even imagine anything left of that.
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, you know, I have advocated a two-state solution for 45 years. And you know, the last few times I've been there in recent years, most recently just before the COVID hit, you know, these settlements are all over the place. They're surrounding the Palestinian population centers. It's the Swiss cheese strategy that Ariel Sharon talked openly about as far back as the 1970s. And so, you know, there are serious questions about whether a two-state solution is even viable. And maybe there needs to be talk of some kind of binational state where one binational state where the rights of both Israeli Jews and Palestinian Arabs are guaranteed. But according to Biden, if you're talking about that, that's anti-Semitic, because you want to destroy, quote, Israel in terms of being a Jewish state. And so that seems even further removed from the political agenda than a two-state solution.
We're talking to Dr. Stephen Zunis at the University of San Francisco. Stephen, let me take a very quick break, come back and talk about the politics of Israel. Good grief. Is it possible that we'll go back to the former prime minister, literally, Netanyahu, again? And how do you even describe the politics of Israel? We'll give you a try at that right after these messages. Back in a moment.
Together, they've brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guinea's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guinea's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guinea's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
If you want news and analysis of Arizona's increasingly unhinged state and local politics with a skeptical, fact-based, and progressive viewpoint, you should be reading blogforarizona.net. Blog for Arizona is a thriving institution in Arizona's progressive politics for almost 20 years now. Blog for Arizona has authors from across the state with extensive experience and insight into Arizona's political history and culture. Find us online at blogforarizona.net, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Accurately Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
From the Perfection of Our Work studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, Dr. Stephen Souness of the University of San Francisco, our Middle East expert. And I was asking you, as we take a break in our show, to perhaps summarize the politics of Israel. I don't know how I'll give you 5 minutes to do that. That's all the time we have. It gets more bizarre every time I look at it. So explain it to people who, like me, can't understand it.
Well, the Israeli political system, it's a democracy, at least for people, you know, within Israel's internationally recognized borders. The 5 million Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza don't have democratic rights within Israel, but Israeli Jews and the minority of Palestinians living within Israel itself can vote, and it's a proportional representation system. So unlike the United States, where people feel like we're forced to choose between the lesser of two evils or whatever, any party that gets more than 3.25% of the vote gets representation in parliament. So there are all sorts of parties you can choose from, which is a good thing on one level, except for the fact that it's no party can get a majority, and you have to hobble together this coalition of a lot of parties, some of which have pretty narrow and parochial agendas. And any of them can bring, and if you have a very narrow majority, as we have in this last time, any party can pull out over one relatively minor issue. The government falls, you have to have another election. So that's a situation we've seen in Israel, where you do have these fragile coalitions. Now, to stop Netanyahu, who many people see as increasingly corrupt and authoritarian and very right-wing, a broad coalition was formed that went from the left to the right. The prime minister, the most recent prime minister, in fact, was sort of like Liz Cheney, I guess you could say, at least corrupt as we're willing to work within the democratic system. But that coalition fell. And so now another election. We have a caretaker, a prime minister, Lapid, whom Biden met with. But it makes it very difficult for any president to make, or any prime minister to make, a bold move in terms of Israeli-Palestinian peace. And Biden is reticent to push them on this because it would make it it could risk getting Netanyahu back in, which the U.S. doesn't want to see, or at least the Democrats don't. The Republicans like Netanyahu. Trump was great buddies with him, but. It's really a mess, frankly, and the problem in general, and we've talked about this before, John, is that Israeli politics in general has shifted more and more to the right over the years. I mean, you and I are old enough to remember when Israel was dominated by the Labor Party. It was a social democracy. I mean, it was like Sweden, with universal health care and, all this kind of good stuff. And you had idealistic young Jewish socialists like Bernie Sanders living in Israel and working on a kibbutz and that kind of thing. But there are some injustices against the Palestinians even back then. But, they were willing to talk about peace and not be quite as aggressive or repressive as they are now. And it's really difficult to see with the current constellation of power in Israel and things moving more and more to the right to see peace going forward. And part of it's just the plain demographics, because the very conservative, orthodox, ultra-nationalist Israelis tend to have big families. The more liberal, secular Israelis tend to have small families. And it doesn't take very long in a small country like that for those demographics to shift the electoral balance. And so while there have been periods where there is a strong peace movement and a strong progressive elements within Israel, that's getting smaller and smaller, and I don't see that reversing anytime soon.
By the way, I've always said peace died with Rabin. Is there any validity to that at all? I got about 30 seconds. I'm sorry, but
I think that's symbolic. I don't know if that said that one incident was what did it, but I think in many ways it's emblematic of the unfortunate direction that we've seen Israel come in recent years, the rise of authoritarian right there, as we're having to deal with a lot of countries, including, frankly, here in the United States.
Stephen Sinnes, it's always great to talk with you. I learn from you each and every time we have a conversation, and thanks for spending part of your weekend with us. I really, truly appreciate it. Thanks again, Stephen.
Always a pleasure talking with you, John.
Middle East expert Stephen Sinnes, one of the most respected experts on the Middle East and all of the globe. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. We'll talk with Ward 6 City Councilman Steve Kasachek next. A water crisis that could bring us all down. We'll talk with Stephen about that after these.
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. I think advertising ought to be stunning and get your attention with sound effects, car chases, gunfire, explosions, intersecting plot lines, multiple ideas, and what's that all got to do with Perfection Auto Works? Well, nothing really. In fact, it's kind of quiet here, absent the ratchet or our ringing phone. We do the planned maintenance on your car, such as brakes, hoses, tires, alignment, air conditioning, and all other things automotive. Just like our jam-packed radio commercials, our auto service gives you 100% satisfaction. From brakes, belts, and even our free 26-point inspection, call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com. 323-8650.
Most of Legislative District 9 and Legislative District 10 are now Legislative District 18. Two longtime lawmakers have retired from the district. To fill the vacancy, Nancy Gutierrez has stepped in to run for the House seat. Nancy Gutierrez is one of the most qualified candidates to run for the legislature from Southern Arizona. Nancy is a school teacher, a mother, a fighter of women's rights and sensible gun legislation. Nancy is an advocate for public education. I'm John C. Scott. I ask you to vote for Nancy Gutierrez for the State House of Representatives. Nancy will be a lawmaker we can be proud of. Nancy Gutierrez is the right person at the right time to serve Southern Arizona. This message is paid for by Nancy for AZ. Go to her website for more information. That's nancyforaz.com. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With us is Steve Kasachek, Ward 6 Councilman for the City of Tucson. Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Mr. Senator, how are you?
I'm great. Fine. The cities, I guess, of Tucson, then Phoenix, Scottsdale, and others, and the Bureau of Reclamation giving back CAP water allocations Why and how is that affecting Tucson? I didn't know we had allocations to give back. How do we get that back? What's going on?
Well, look, in the last 2 weeks between the EPA and the Bureau of Reclamation, the Department of Interior, our entire water world has kind of tilted on its axis. Two things very, very significant have happened. One is the EPA set some new guidelines for PFAS contamination levels. Previously, the number was 70 parts per trillion identified as a health advisory. 2 weeks ago, the EPA dropped that number down to below one part per trillion. That was 0.0004, which basically means if you have any PFAS in your water system, they've issued a health advisory for it. That is even below the EPA's own ability to test for. Now, how does that relate to the Bureau of Reclamation action? The Bureau of Reclamation announced that the seven basin states, and Arizona is one of them, that rely on the Colorado River for the majority of our water that we serve, have got to come up with between 2 and 4 million acre feet in addition to what we're already leaving on the river, or we're going to wind up drying up the Colorado River. That means Lake Mead. It means Lake Powell. It means putting the ability of the Hoover Dam to provide hydroelectric power to some 40 million users who are all downstream from it, and we are one of them. We are one of those jurisdictions. City of Tucson takes about 144,000 acre feet per year off of the Colorado River. We use about 100,000 of that to serve our customers, and we've been banking 44,000 of it. In other words, we've been putting it in the ground and storing it. The Bureau of Reclamation said that those days are over. We're going to have to lock arms with the rest of the cities in Arizona who are reliant on the Colorado River, all of them. Agriculture has got to be a part of the conversation. They use about 70% of the water off the river in the state of Arizona. And the municipalities, the tribes, everybody's got to be at the table. The reason that that is true is that the Bureau of Reclamation has given us until August to come up with our game plan. And if we don't, then the federal government will simply step in and impose a solution on us. I would rather the solution be the result of collaborative conversations between the users on the river, as opposed to having somebody from D.C. step in and say, here's what you're going to do. Now, this is not going to be easy, and I am certainly hopeful that people understand that, you know, we're in a multi-decade drought right now in the southwestern United States, in the city of Tucson, state of Arizona. It's not turning around anytime soon. Anybody who thinks that 1 year of good snowpack in the Rockies is going to change things is dreaming. We're in a new reality right now. At the last council meeting, our conversation was the city should go to the table and offer up to 30,000 acre feet of our allocation. I don't think that's enough, and I said that at the council meeting. My perspective is that we need to get real about this and understand that this is our new reality. It's not a new reality. It was just a newly announced reality. Is that we're taking more water out of the Colorado River than what it produces. Not just the city of Tucson, but everybody who's using it. And that's Colorado, it's Utah, it's Wyoming, it's New Mexico, it's Arizona, Nevada, California, the tribes, agriculture. We're all sucking more water out of that river than what it produces. And if we don't wind up all sitting around the table saying, this is real, and this is our reality, And we can't all throw a piece of paper on the table and say our legal right to pull water out of the river is 145,000 acre feet, and we're going to do it. If we all come to the table with that kind of a mentality, then we're going to suck that river dry, and it's going to get real serious when people don't get hydroelectric power out of Hoover Dam. So this is no joke. And the reason I mentioned the EPA and the PFAS contamination to begin this is that right now we have 25 of our water wells in the city of Tucson shut down because of PFAS contamination. About 60 or 70% of what we serve the customers right now comes out of the Colorado River. The balance of that comes out of our groundwater wells. As soon as we get to the point where that percentage flips and the majority of our water that we're serving customers has to come out of groundwater wells, those wells have got to be clean. And the EPA just told us that their new standard is non-detect. So last Thursday, a couple nights ago, I conducted a forum. The Department of Defense was there. U.S. Air Force was there. Arizona Department of Environmental Quality was there. Tucson Water and our city attorneys were there. And we had about 75 residents from around the community participating in this. And the message that the DOD keeps saying is that we're going to follow what's called a CERCLA process. It's an acronym. Everything in the federal government's an acronym. It stands for Comprehensive Environmental Response and Compensation Liability Act. What it basically says is that they want to take 2 to 3 years to study this problem. John, we haven't got 2 to 3 years to study the problem. And ADEQ from the state, to their great credit, has stepped up and put about $5 million into putting testing wells and treatment wells in and around the city of Tucson. But the reality is that this is going to be tens of millions of dollars worth of investment out of the federal government to clean our groundwater up. And the reason I'm pointing at the federal government is because the party that is culpable for contaminating our water is the U.S. Air Force and the Air National Guard. We know that because they were using a firefighting foam that contained the PFAS that they were hosing into the soil and dumping into our sewer system. So the need to serve groundwater is imminent, it's real, and it's got to be clean. So that's where we are, and we have until August to identify a game plan, or the Interior Department's going to impose one on us, and we may not like that.
I got about 3 or 4 minutes left here. Where are we from? You can't wash your car. You can't grow grass. Don't water anything. If we see you with a hose, you're going to get fined. Where are we from that? I mean, 70% of the water that's been used is for cotton. So somebody's got to do something about that. If I can't wash my car, or water the very small grass area I have. So I understand what the dilemma is for farmers. They have an entire industry at risk. But what about the daily life of Tucsonans? How far are we from that dramatic change that we're going to have to make?
Okay, so this is just one guy talking, and I don't dictate any of this. But from my perspective is that we need to be following closely along what the city of Las Vegas is already doing. They're putting golf courses on a water budget. They're saying that they're saying that you can't be washing your car from your driveway. They're recommending that you go to a car wash where the water goes down into the sewer system and can be reclaimed. They're talking about things such as new development. We've already adopted this at the city. They're drafting the language now. It's called a net zero water use for new developments, which is to say that if you're a new development, you've got to demonstrate that you're using a net zero amount of water. That could mean putting in low flow fixtures in other locations in the city so you can buy credits. But this is like now, John. I mean, this is, you know, We can't keep nibbling around the edges and saying we'll toss 30,000 acre feet onto the table, because they've asked for 2 to 4 million acre feet, and so we're not talking about drops, we're talking about buckets. And I think and frankly, the conversation that was going on well over a decade ago, you might have been a part of it, about potable effluent, reuse of potable effluent is got to be something we consider again, and the fact that the prices that we pay for water is an absolute bargain right now. And we got to realize that this is a commodity that right now is underpriced. And if supply and demand were driving this conversation, we wouldn't be paying what we're paying right now or anything close to it.
I need about 3 minutes from you on the RTA. City of Tucson, finally, I assume, is at peace with changes made at the RTA. And how is it going to finish up projects is the question that were identified initially by the RTA.
Well, I would say we're in a period of detente. that, you know, we were going pretty hard and heavy with them a couple of months ago. We have agreed to stay at the table and have the conversations. What we need are a few things from the RTA, which we haven't seen yet, but the conversation's continuing. One of the things that we need to see is that we need a guarantee that the projects that were identified in 2006 for the city of Tucson, almost $200 million worth of them, will be completed and will be funded by the RTA. Now, the RTA continues to push back on what is an RTA or RTA obligation and what's the jurisdiction, the city's obligation. And one of the most significant pieces of that pushback comes in the form of inflation adjustments. They are taking the position that the budgets that were on the ballot in 2006 should hold, and that any inflation increases that have happened since 2006 should be the responsibility of the jurisdiction. You know, we're throwing a flag on that. We're saying that's BS. We're saying that they need to come up with those dollars just as they have done for Marana and for the county and for some of the other jurisdictions. That, I think, could be one of the really, really significant factors in whether or not the city decides or the city council decides to vote to support the RTA next when it comes around again for a vote. So that's probably the most significant piece of it, because we're talking about $200 million worth of our projects that are at the back end and still waiting to be done. So we'll see how that sorts itself out. You know, those conversations happen on a monthly basis when the RTA board meets.
Steve Kozacek, great to talk with you. Wish we had some more time, but we'll get you back very soon. I just can't tell you how much I admire the entire scope of your work over all these years. It's been remarkable. I'm thinking back to the time we helped get you elected the first time. It's been the best investment in politics that we've ever made. I have to say that.
You and Ray Carroll and I did an event listening to the results one day. I got to say this, though. One of your advertisers was saying women shouldn't wash their hair more than once every 3 days. Are you kidding me? If that was true, my bride wouldn't walk out of the house but once every 3 days.
I haven't followed that.
We need to fix that.
Wait, you're absolutely right. Forget about the water problem. Let's talk about washing hair here.
That's right. That's right.
Steve, good to talk with you. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Right. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it very much.
Absolutely.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back with the Democrats of Greater Tucson and Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. That's after these messages.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Coming up next, The Democrats of Greater Tucson show. The following a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here is the president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, Larry Bodine. I want to also mention an award-winning writer for the New York Daily News at one time, a lawyer. He was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention. He's president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. He's one of the more prominent Democrats in the state of Arizona and one of the smartest guys I know. Here is Larry Bodine. Hi, Larry.
Hey, John. Good to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm well. What's going on with the DGC? Come on up. What's up?
Well, we have a meeting on Monday. You know, we meet every Monday at noon on Zoom. And we've got a candidate who is running in the new Legislative District 21. And that is Stephanie Stahl Hamilton. If you want to attend this program, just go to thedgt.org or Google Democrats of Greater Tucson. So Stephanie Stahl Hamilton has been in office for several years as a state senator, and because of redistricting, she is now running for the state house. Stephanie is an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church, and her faith and love for the community drove her to be involved in after-school programs at school. She also worked as a substitute teacher, and finally, to run for public office. I think it's going to be really interesting to hear her because there are three candidates seeking two seats in LD 21. This is the gerrymandered district that starts in Broadway in Tucson and goes all the way down to the border. So we've also had Consuelo Hernandez speaking on Democrats of Greater Tucson. You can come to our website and see the video of her presentation. And then we also had a really interesting guy, Akani Oyedbola, who is a city council person in Tucson, South Tucson, and also the former mayor, acting mayor, and councilman. Sorry, I got mixed up there for a second. And, you know, we're not all about work, John. We're, you know, of course we're sending people door to door all over the county. And on July 20, we are going to have our Drinking Democratically Happy Hour. This is going to be at Brother John's on July 20 at 4 p.m. to 6, and it's in person, and it's a chance to rub elbows and enjoy the camaraderie of other Democrats. So any Democrat in the county is invited to come to our Drinking Democratically.
Well, wow, even your dog's excited about that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, libations, and he just was wonderful.
So, yeah, yeah.
You know, this is a great gathering.
Word, drinking, or maybe it was democratic.
Could be. By the way, that's a great gathering spot. I happened to join you a couple of times down there. I really had a great time. Met a lot of wonderful people. If you'd like to socialize, great. You'd like to talk politics, great. You want some great food? That's great. You want it at an economical price? Yes. Great place to drink, gather, talk. These gatherings are marvelous. So once again, tell us how to all join each other.
All right, it's July 20, this coming week at 4 p.m. at Brother John's on Stone Avenue. It's called Drinking Democratically, hosted by Democrats of Greater Tucson, thedgt.org, or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson. And John, as you know, there's a primary election going on.
Yes, I do know.
Yeah, and we've got some really interesting candidates. In fact, this is the most enthusiastic I've ever felt about the primary and the general election, because the Democrats have fantastic candidates. The people are going to elect Katie Hobbs as governor, and she's already sworn to veto every bad bill that the Republican legislature passes. And we've got Chris Mays running for attorney general. She said she's not going to prosecute any woman who is exercising her reproductive rights.
These are two really the most, qualified candidates I've seen for statewide office by the Democrats in a long, long time. Just out of time here, I want everybody to go online tomorrow, or Monday that is, and join everybody else for a gathering of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. And the archives are there. If you'd like to see any speech that's been before the Democrats of Greater Tucson in the public, I think in the last couple of years. Thank you so much, Larry
Bodine.
Appreciate
John.
It.
Always a pleasure.
You bet. proceeding a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Mike Emery of Perfection Auto Works, the greatest mechanic in the world.
Are you tired of yelling at the TV when news about politics comes on? I know I am. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's time to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Simply Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. Don't just sit on the couch. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
September 1964.
The one and only Beatles!
Like, this is a life-changing moment, man. I mean, the Beatles live in concert.
They sound just like the records, man.
Oh, man, I know exactly what I want to do with my life. Tomorrow I'm going to Marshall's Music Store and buy a guitar.
You can't play guitar.
I'll learn. Now, what about you? You gonna play drums? What?
How did those four dudes get here anyway?
Hey, in that fancy car over there, man, next to the stage.
Well, you know what I was thinking? I want to be the guy that makes sure they get to the next concert. I want to work on cars.
You know, back in the day, everyone wanted to be a musician, but not me. I wanted to fix cars. This is Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works with a passion for doing your auto and truck repairs correctly. Imagine driving along in your car with the radio tuned and ice-cold air conditioning on, cruising with peace of mind. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.